Words on Water.
Hi, welcome to Words on Water, a podcast from the Water Environment Federation. This is Travis Loop, the host, and today we are going to dig into smart water and intelligent water systems and infrastructure analytics. I am here with Al Cho of Xylem. He is the Vice President and General Manager for Advanced Infrastructure Analytics. Thanks for finding some time to squeeze in this conversation.
Thanks for coming by.
Absolutely. So I wanted to first just ask about this title of yours, Advanced Infrastructure Analytics. What does that mean? What are you responsible for?
So at Xylem, we have a number of different business units, and our newest one is called Advanced Infrastructure Analytics. The focus of that new platform for Xylem is pulling together businesses that apply data science, software as a service, analytics, targeting the efficiency and productivity of buried infrastructure and other critical infrastructure systems in the water and wastewater sector. The goal is basically that when you use smarter technologies to monitor, assess, and make better decisions about the infrastructure that accounts for 70% of the asset value of the utility, you can save an awful lot of money and generate better environmental outcomes.
And this is a new unit because there's just a desire and a need to really focus on that area with how quickly technology is changing, with the incredible opportunities that are being presented and so forth?
Yeah, it's kind of the convergence of a burning need and a new set of opportunities. And the concept of advanced infrastructure analytics sits at the convergence of those two trends. The burning need comes from the fact that when you look across water and wastewater utilities in the United States, you see all of these reports about how it's so important for us to reinvest in aging infrastructure, about how the challenges are actually growing larger with climate change and the need to build more resilience in our cities, growing urban populations, and rising regulations around things like water quality standards, etc. All of those factors mean that cities, municipalities, communities around the country are going to have to invest significantly more in the systems that operate our water and wastewater. The challenge and what creates this burning need is as we make those investments, we're also operating in a world of limited resources. And so this challenge around what can we afford and maintaining the affordability of our water systems is really important. In real terms, if you look at median incomes in the United States over the course of the last decade or so, they haven't grown that much. But water rates, wastewater rates, they are rising, and they're going to have to rise even faster in order to fund investment in these systems. And so if you think about the affordability challenge from the perspective of people who struggle to pay their bills because they're on fixed incomes or are on the lower end of the income scale, there's already an affordability challenge today. When you pile on top of that, more investment in infrastructure, if we follow business as usual, you end up in a situation that is going to create a lot of stress for people and for communities around the country. So that's the need, is how do we actually address the underlying investment needs in the system, which are large and growing in an environment of static or in some cases even diminished resources. And I think that's where the opportunity lies, which is when you think about advanced infrastructure analytics, that's just a fancy word for a lot of computing power, which has just grown exponentially in the last couple of decades. Falling costs of storage, of cloud capacity and analytics, as well as increasing sophistication in technologies like machine learning and data science. And the falling cost profile that comes with that enhanced power, people talk about Moore's Law doubling the amount of transistors on a chip kind of every year, and the exponential scale of power that's now available to solve these big challenges. When those two things come together, it's one of the only solutions that I see out of the crisis that we face today with infrastructure resilience.
That's very interesting. And so you have this 75-year-old, 100-year-old infrastructure that you're looking to upgrade, and at the same time, you have this incredible cutting-edge technology. That as you're looking to change things and upgrade infrastructure, you have this new factor to introduce. And so how do you bring those together?
Right. Exactly. I think the question that many of the utility leaders and operators that we work with are asking right now is, you know, let's take a look at how we've been doing things forever and figure out if there's something available in this new world of technology that can reduce costs, not by 10%, 15%, even 25%, but by factors that are much greater than that, and where you can get a 10x improvement relative to the cost of doing something the old way, where investing in a new solution can create triple digit returns on investment, not double digit returns on investment. So let me give you a couple of examples. You know, we're sitting here at our offices. Xylem came together with a company called Pure Technology. Pure Technologies just a couple of months ago. And the opportunity that we saw there is that when you use advanced sensing technologies combined with data analytics, what you can do is look at a pipe network system and identify specifically what pieces of it actually need to be replaced and only target those parts. So instead of an age-based replacement program, which is going to tear up a lot of streets, dig up a lot of infrastructure, a lot of which is perfectly good, you can use sensing and data analytics to zero in on just those parts of the infrastructure that have to be replaced.
And so how would you know that that section needs to get replaced? What does it show you?
So what in the case of, for example, pre-stressed concrete cylinder pipe, what you're able to do is run electromagnetic technologies through the pipe in a free-swimming device and look for wire breaks in that cylinder pipe. And you can identify specifically where the areas where wire breaks are happening, which increase the probability of failure. We have some technologies here that can actually listen for those wire breaks in real time and alert utilities when they're at higher risk for rupture so that they know which infrastructure pieces have to get replaced. You know, my old job here at Xylem is actually focusing on mergers and acquisitions. Uh-huh. And so a lot of what we did was look for who are some of the technology leaders that are coming up with solutions that could transform the economics of specific parts of the water industry. And so if you kind of go up a level from pipe inspection, monitoring, and assessment, and start to look at systems, we started to see some technologies that were potentially disruptive in that area as well. So you take the wastewater network. This is an area that WEF knows well. And one of the biggest challenges that cities, certainly in certain communities in the United States, have are combined sewer overflows during wet weather events. And the traditional solution to solving that challenge has been to build very, very large civil infrastructure to eliminate the risk of any overflows. And that's a great solution. It's proven. It's well understood. It's also very disruptive and very capital intensive. Mm-hmm. And so for communities that have, again, limited incomes, people with limited incomes and limited means to pay for very, very large projects, there's been a search for a better way.
Yeah, so, a lot of these communities are in the upper Midwest, and where they've had some economic tough times, and they don't quite even have as much of the revenue to put into these huge projects, or it's tough for them.
Right? So how do you do that, right? And so the answer has to come from thinking about things in a different way. And I'm not smart enough to do that, but I know people who are. And one of those people is a guy named Luis Montestruque, who is this PhD in control systems theory from Notre Dame. And while he was at Notre Dame, he and his professor, I think, got in touch with the utility director and the city of South Bend, Indiana, which was struggling with one of these large consent decrees. And by kind of working together and coming up with a way to apply some of these defense and intelligence grade distributed sensing and analytics technologies, they were able to come up with a system that built out real-time sensor networks in sewers, applied into artificial intelligence technologies to tune and calibrate hydraulic models, and basically provide decision support services during wet weather events to dramatically reduce the amount of discharges that happened, which obviously then saves the city money in terms of capital expenditure on a smaller civil engineering project. And so that's the kind of thing where, you know, you take a totally different discipline, which is control systems theory, which candidly I didn't really know as a discipline until I met Luis, and you apply that to a problem which is as old as many American cities are.
Right.
And the convergence between that need to find a way to solve a problem which seemed irresolvable by using really smart new technologies, practically implemented by people who know what they're doing, that's potentially going to save cities like South Bend hundreds of millions of dollars. And so, you know, for the opportunity to look at this through the affordability lens, I think more and more cities are going to start to see opportunities to say, well, we thought we were going to go do it this way. Maybe we can take a completely different approach. And that was one of the reasons that we were so interested in supporting the Intelligent Water challenge that WEF came to us with, because, you know, frankly, those solutions are out there. People are going to come up with them. And the best way to solve those problems is through innovation that's broadly distributed, people working together from utilities, people working together from universities and technology providers to generate new ways of thinking about
like crowdsourcing the ideas. So you mentioned this intelligent water systems challenge that WEF and others are working on. Could you kind of give an overview of that and what's happening right now and what you hope to see come out of it?
Yeah, what I love about this challenge is it really draws on the best strengths of WEF, deep relationships with utilities around the country, with water professionals who are passionate about solving problems. And, you know, WEF has been incredibly, I think, forward-thinking in identifying innovative technologies that could make a difference for their members and for the communities that support WEF. And so when we first heard about this opportunity to partner with them on this challenge, this was right around the time we were setting up this advanced infrastructure analytics organization. And, you know, it was really funny is that I was talking to someone from WEF, and they were telling me about some of the best companies that they knew doing intelligent water work, and two of them were Valor Water Analytics and MNET. And at the time, we knew that both of those companies were joining Xylem, and I couldn't tell them. So I was just kind of a big smile on my face and said, like, if those are the kinds of companies that WEF is identifying as opportunities for significant disruption in the water sector, I want to work more closely with WEF.
Yeah.
And really understand what can we see, what can we learn from the broader community of smart problem solvers that we might not otherwise meet,
mm-hmm.
and use the opportunity to ignite and catalyze excitement, interest, collaboration, in hope of kind of finding new partners and new ideas to help grow the movement around smart water.
So I believe that there's been utilities that have signed up for this challenge and said, hey, here's a problem we have or something we're looking to make progress on. And it needs to involve some type of technology or some type of intelligent solution. And then other folks have signed up to be part of teams, mm-hmm. to then tackle that challenge over a certain number of months. Is that's kind of the crux of it there?
That's exactly the crux. And so the teams, they either come from pre-existing groups of people who are working on a topic and found a utility that, you know, has a problem that is relevant. In some cases, there are people who just wanted to sign up because they knew they could bring something to the table. Mm-hmm. And they formed teams in response to some of the utility challenges. It's one of the things that I liked about the way WEF constructed the challenge is that the best problems and innovations, the best innovations come out of trying to solve real problems, rather than just saying, we want to do something with digital intelligence in water and inventing something.
Mm-hmm.
So the close linkage between big challenges that are identified by utilities and willing solvers to go out there and do that, I think are going to come up with some pretty exciting answers. And so right now they're going through a process of building their projects against the problem statements. There's going to be a down select process that happens in the next month or two. And then the shortlisted finalists will present at WEFTEC in New Orleans this fall.
And it's exciting. I know that I think there's been more interest in this than we expected there to be. And I think the hope is it's not just a fun contest, but there could be some real practical ideas that come out of it. That's the hope.
Absolutely. I think everyone is going to learn a lot through that process. You know, we'd in the past had done some work with the U.S. Bureau of Reclamation. I think back in 2016, the White House had a big water summit. And one of the commitments that we made was to sponsor an innovation prize in smart water. And we did that with the Bureau of Reclamation around some innovative sensing technologies. They had an America Competes authorization around innovation prizes and did such a great job. And we learned so much from that process that when WEF came along and was doing something kind of even bigger, we got quite excited about the opportunity to partner.
Yeah. Well, I look forward to seeing the results in a couple months, and we'll probably have to do another podcast then and talk about what came out of it and what some of the winners are. In the last few minutes here, I wanted to ask you about some things that are really fascinating. I mean, technology is moving so fast, and you have augmented reality and virtual reality and artificial intelligence and kind of all these real cutting edge things that sound futuristic and like sci-fi and even scary to some people. And what's going on in that realm, and how quickly are some of those technologies moving into use in the water sector?
You know, I'd say that it's uneven. People are exploring things all over the place. It's a great question, but I think where I always come back to is those technologies are always going to be out there, emerging, changing, evolving. The question we should always be asking ourselves is, what value are they creating?
Mm.
Where is the pool of value in terms of waste or risk or cost in the system that can be disrupted or changed by the application of the different route? Nobody wants to apply a new technology for the sake of applying new technology. The only reason that that matters is if it makes somebody's life better, if it makes the utility's balance sheet or capital plan more efficient, if it saves communities more money that they can then dedicate to other things. And I have no doubt that people will discover uses for blockchain, for AI, for additive manufacturing, for synthetic biology, for all of these other things that are emerging on the landscape as trends that matter in technology to different areas in water and wastewater. But I think the things that will differentiate success from failure will be whether it was a cool application of a technology that we just kind of thought was really interesting, or whether, just as the Intelligent Water Solutions Challenge is doing, you started with a big problem. That is, someone has it on their mind as a major pain point because whatever we have right now isn't working so well, or is a little bit too expensive, or doesn't give us the results that we're looking for. And there's a match between that need or that opportunity or that waste and something that is emerging on the horizon, which can solve that problem in a way that nobody ever thought of before. Just like this Notre Dame postdoc student who understood a whole lot about missile systems and an opportunity to create value in the sewers of Indiana. I love that example because it shows you how bringing people together who may actually not know very much about each other at the beginning, that's sometimes where you get the most productive and disruptive outcomes.
I like that. A bunch of these terms, I'm familiar with the layman definition of what they are, you know, artificial intelligence and augmented reality and so forth. But this blockchain, and there might be some listeners that don't know what that is. What is blockchain?
So I'm not an expert in blockchain, but if I were to tell you what I understand about it, it's basically a way of using distributed networks to validate chains of transactions. And so it basically uses the very high degree of inexpensive storage and connectivity to create new ways of validating transaction history along a chain, a supply chain of events. And so I've seen companies actually using blockchain in the water sector in areas like tracking water rights and transactions over time, or trying to follow water transactions of different types through the chain. I haven't followed them that closely, but certainly we'll be watching to see how that develops.
Yeah. The artificial intelligence, you know, people hear that and they think of, you know, big scary robots coming over and taking over things. It's not quite that. How do you see the implications for technology and the human workforce in the future? You know, there's a lot of talk about technology and so forth, replacing people's jobs, not just in water, but everywhere. What do you see as kind of the convergence or the future there? I know that's a tough crystal ball to look in, but...
Well, it is. I think there's been a number of reports that have been published in the last couple of months about the impact of AI on workforces generally. McKinsey put out a report that a pretty high percentage of jobs could in principle be automated by artificial intelligence. I had a conversation recently with the head of a major professional services firm who basically said that, you know, 3 years ago we were hiring 50,000 new entry-level professionals a year to deliver professional services. In 5 years, we expect that number to fall by about 3/4 because so much of the entry-level work that this firm was doing is likely to be automated through things like business process automation, robotic process automation, etc. And I think that's leading to a lot of anxiety because a lot of the roles that were entry-level roles into professional services careers or manufacturing careers even are disappearing as a consequence of advancing technology. Obviously, new opportunities will be created, but there's always a transition time, and people aren't infinitely elastic or fungible when it comes to building new skills and transitioning between different industries. In the context of the water and wastewater sector, I think the discussion has been quite interesting because, you know, we are at a moment where there's a generational transition and a workforce transition happening in the industry. And I think there's some anxiety about how much knowledge is being lost in that transition. That'll happen over the course of the next 5 to 10 years. WEF and AWWA, I think the Water Resource Foundation, have all done really good research on this topic. And you know, at one level, there's this utopian hope that artificial intelligence, which can be context independent and trained to learn things, might help us replace some of the context and knowledge that is going to leave the sector with the coming wave of retirements. But at another level, I think there's some suspicion about, one, will it work? Will judgment and reliability be the same? Will there be biases built into AI which may not reflect the kind of broader mission of water and wastewater operators? And so I think there are a lot of questions and anxieties about how that's going to play out, how automation is going to affect the workforce in the sector. And I guess where I would leave it is to come back to the challenge and the opportunity, which is, if you look at Bureau of Labor Statistics data over the course of the last 10 years, you've seen meaningfully higher productivity growth in a number of sectors like retail or manufacturing than you have in the utility sector. And in part, that's a reflection of the slower uptake of new technology in the utility sector. And the opportunity is for the adoption of intelligent technologies to dramatically improve labor productivity. The challenge is that that technology adoption is going to introduce potentially some disruptions to the way things work today. And managing the pace of that disruption is, I think, part of the challenge that organizations like WEF and industry coalitions, general managers around the country are going to need to grapple with over the course of the next certainly the next 10 years.
Yeah, absolutely fascinating stuff. I know that we got to wrap up here, but I really appreciate it. And we'll probably have to do a follow-up conversation at some point in the future, because all this stuff's happening so quick and there's exciting things all the time. But I really appreciate it so much.
Thank you so much for coming and for the opportunity to speak about a topic that I think matters a lot to the industry.
Yeah, absolutely.
Words on Water.